Well, good morning and happy Easter to you all. It is a little bit disconcerting when you get up and everybody runs out, but that's okay. Please open with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We're going to read a few passages this morning. We're going to begin in Luke, and then we'll be going to John. And then a little bit later on, we'll be looking at another section in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So we'll be moving around just a little bit this morning. I make no apology for reading lengthy portions of the Word of God, for the Word of God is what really the Spirit of God will take to speak to our hearts and to our minds. And it's the Word of God that the Spirit of God will take and drive it home to our hearts if we are those who are sensitive and are listening to the Spirit's voice. So let's begin in Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. A very familiar story. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. And then they returned from the tomb and told these things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself what had happened." Turn now over to John, please. The Gospel of John. And we're going to be reading in chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. And this time we're going to begin reading from verse 11. "But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white standing, or sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'Teacher.' Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God.' And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her." And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we are so very thankful to you for what we celebrate today. We are so very thankful that your Son, our Savior, came into this world to save sinners like us. And so we thank you, Father, for the resurrection. We thank you that he lives. Now we ask, Father, as we look at these portions, as we think through again the events of that week. We pray that your Spirit might speak to us, that you might guide and direct our thinking, that it might bring glory and honor to thee. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Did the grass sing? Did the earth rejoice to feel him again? Over and over, like a trumpet underground. It seemed to pound. He is risen. Over and over in a never-ending round. He is risen. Hallelujah, he is risen. I think that probably is one of my favorite resurrection songs, sung by Sandy Patty many years ago. Did the grass feel your presence? Did the earth pound when it felt you again? The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I oftentimes, and I don't know about you, I can be strange sometimes in the things that I do. Some of you know me and can assent to that very quickly. Have you ever tried to place yourself into the narrative of the Bible stories? Have you ever tried to use that, what is a literary device called self-insertion, that is used when writers write? But have you ever tried to do that in your mind? To insert yourself into the Bible text with your personality, with your emotions, and try to sense and understand what it is that they felt, what it is that they experienced in the different portions of the Word of God. Have you been there? Have you placed yourself in the accounts of the Scripture? We saw a movie the other night on Friday afternoon, we saw a movie about the life of Christ. I'd seen that movie on several occasions. In fact, I've used it in the Philippines on several occasions in Tagalog. And we would show that movie during this time of the year and have an opportunity to present the gospel to people. But what a movie does is it does all the work for you. All you have to do is sit and see someone's interpretation of how things occurred. And they're enjoyable, aren't they? It was an enjoyable movie. It was a moving film. We enjoyed watching through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ again. But I like to sit and listen to my own mind. I like to sit and meditate on the portions of the Word of God. I like to get into a quiet place and try to imagine myself in those scenes. To be with the army of Israel as it walked around Jericho. To be amongst the host of Israel as they circled around the city. And to hear the trumpets blast. And to experience the walls falling in. To be among Gideon's 300. To be able to stand, as it were, through the pages of Scripture and watch David take down a giant twice his size with a sling and a stone. This time of the year, in particular, I like to sit and think through the last week of Jesus' life. I like to sit and think through the Scriptures that we know so clearly of this last week of his life. And imagine what it would have been like to have been there. To have been amongst the crowd of people. To be amongst those even who had believed and saw him as the Messiah of Israel. To be there among them. To have shouted, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. As we laid down palm branches, as we laid down coats, as the Son of God, according to the Scripture, in fulfilling the Scripture, came in triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem at the beginning of that week. To hear the crowds. To feel the excitement of that time. Can you feel it? Can you feel the excitement of those days? The Messiah! He has come! The long-awaited Messiah, the one we have prayed for, the one we have longed for, he has come. Hosanna in the highest. God save. And then he comes and the crowd is rejoicing. And the crowd is excited that the Messiah has come. To see him enter into the temple grounds. To be a part of the group that was in and around the temple on this Passover week. To watch him come in and see him walk across through the temple courts. And to see him looking around at all the things that he saw going on. And then to suddenly watch him as he took a table and threw it over. As he began to open up the cages and letting the animals loose. Opening up the bird cages and letting the doves fly free. Turning over table after table. Hearing the excitement and hearing the noise of the crowds. Who does he think he is? Who is this man? What is he doing? Get away from us. To hear the comments of men and women. As he's turning over the tables, then to hear his voice rise above the din. To hear his voice rise above the noise of the crowds. This is my Father's house. This is my Father's house. And you have made it into a den of thieves. This is my Father's house. It is to be a house of prayer for all nations. And look what you've done. To hear him, to watch the crowd. What was it like to listen as they accused him? Brought false witnesses against him. To know that they were looking to find fault in him. What was it like? To be there when they began to question him. By what authority do you do these things? By what authority do you speak these words? Tell me. Well, I will ask you first a question and then you answer me. John's baptism, was it from heaven or from earth? Answer that question, because if we do, the people will revolt. If we say he was not from heaven, they believe he was a prophet. Then neither will I answer yours. His authority, where was it from? From heaven itself. God incarnate came into the world. From where, they asked, has your authority come? And they began to question him. They had a desire to put him to death. To listen as he spoke parables. To try and decipher what his meanings were. What would it have been like to hear them for the first time? We've heard them over and over and over again. We've heard these words over and over again. And when I say the words, you already know what the answers are. But imagine being there for the first time and listening to him speak in parables. And your mind is trying to figure out, whatever does he mean? By the things that he has said. And then maybe listen over the shoulders of the disciples as he explains them to them. What was it like to be there on that week? What was it like? What was it like to hear him teach in the temple courts? To hear his words of truth and wisdom as he taught in the temple courts. What was it like
hear him as he walks out of the city and looks back on the buildings and says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stoned the prophets and killed those who were sent unto you, how I long to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks beneath her wings, but you would not. You would not. You would not accept my love. You would not accept me. And now, it is your house," speaking of the temple, "it is your house." He just said it was my father's house a short while before. Now he's saying, "It's your house left to you, desolate. Desolate. For God came. God had come into the very courts of the temple in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would not believe, and they would not receive their God. And they rejected him." What was it like, my brothers and sisters, to have been in that upper room that night, on the night he was betrayed? What was it like to be in that upper room, to watch him take a basin as he rose up from the table, going over and taking a basin and filling it with water and girding himself with a towel and taking another and going to each of the disciples' feet and beginning to wash them? What would your reaction have been if you were one among them? Would you have been like Peter? "You will not wash my feet." "Well, if I do not wash you, Peter, you have no part with me. Then give me a whole bath. Then bathe all of me, because I want to desperately be a part of you." What was it like? What was it like to hear him say, as he was teaching? What was it like to hear him say, "Let not your hearts be troubled. I can see that you are troubled by the words that I have spoken. I can see that you are troubled by the things that I have said. I can see you are troubled that when I took this bread and I broke it and I gave it to you and said, 'This is my body which is given for you,' when I took the cup and said, 'Drink of it,' 'This is my blood which is shed for you. This is the blood of the new covenant which is shed for you.' I can sense that you are troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. In the same way, believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also." How many times, my brothers and sisters, have those words comforted your heart? How many times have you been comforted by those words? We know them now by heart, but what must it have been like to hear them for the first time and try and grasp the fullness of their meaning and impact? "Oh, Thomas, oh, Thomas, I am the way. We don't know the way, Lord. How are we going to find the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life, Thomas. No man comes unto the Father but through me. I'm the way, Thomas. Come to me. Come to me. Follow me. I'm the way, the truth. I'm the life. I can bring you to the Father. I can bring you to the Father's house. Just believe. Just believe." And then he would go on to say, Craig spoke of these things last week, where he said, "Abide in me, and I in you. I am the vine," he said to them. "You are the branches. Abide in me, and you'll bear fruit. abide in me.
And then he would say in chapter 16 of John, in this upper room ministry, that all, of course, didn't take place in the upper room, but in an upper room ministry, he said in chapter 16, in the world, all my disciples, oh my beloved ones, in the world you will have tribulation. In the world you will have difficulty. You will have persecution. You will have tribulation. But cheer up. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Place your faith in me, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of all the tribulation that you will face. I have overcome. And because I have overcome, you too can be an overcomer in this world. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Then there would have been words, he said, that would penetrate your mind and heart and have given you hope.
Several times he said, in a little while, you will see me no more. But then in a little while, you will see me again. Whatever does he mean? Oh, they would soon learn. They would soon know what it is that he meant. In a little while.
And then he would have gone off with them. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, they would have stood and us by our own inserting of ourselves into the text would have stood with them a way off and listened to him as he prayed. I in them and you in me, that we may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and that I have loved them as you have loved me.
To have listened to him pray, that high intercessory prayer for you and for me, not only for those that were there, but for those who would believe in a day that would come. And there he prayed. What was it like to listen and be a part of them when the crowds came in? And the soldiers came up. And Judas, one of the 12, approached Jesus and kissed him. Do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? And the soldiers took him. And you remember one took out a sword and cut off the ear of one of the servants.
Put your sword away! Could I have not called on my Father? And would he have not sent legions of angels?
Put away your sword. Put away your sword. And he reached down and healed the servant's ear. And he was taken away. And all the disciples fled. I would have too. I would have been amongst them. Fled. Fearing for my own life. They had arrested him. Would they not also arrest us? His followers. But Jesus had prayed for them. That not one would be lost. But only the son of perdition. That the scripture might be fulfilled. And then they're taken. And Peter gets close. He gets into the court area where they're trying him. You remember the accusations were being made against the Savior. Words were being said. False witnesses were being brought before him. This man blasphemes. I've heard him blaspheme. I've heard him say that he forgave sins. And there they were. And the Lord had told Peter that before this evening is over, you will deny me three times. And a little maiden comes up. You're one of them. Not me.
No, I don't even know the man. A little while later. Oh, yes, you were. I recognize you. I saw you with him. You're mistaken. It's not me. And then a third time. Yes, you were. And you are a Galilean. Your speech is betraying you. You were one of them. I am not. I do not know him. And the cock crowed. What was the gut-wrenching feeling in Peter's heart as he looked and the Savior, at the moment that cock crowed, turned his head and looked directly into the eyes of Peter. And he went out weeping, having denied the Lord he just a few hours before said he would be willing to die with him. And he denied him three times. What did it feel like? What would it have felt like, my brothers and sisters, for you? In the moment of your sins, in the moment when you're committing sin, willful, open sin against God, and you could have the light, the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ look at you. How would you feel? Ashamed. Bitterly guilty inside. Remember that little song we used to sing as children? I don't know if they still sing it. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. He is watching. He is seeing. He does know your sin. He does know your failures. He knows your iniquities. He knows our twisted ways. He knows. He knows our heart. He knows whether our hearts have been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ because we have placed our faith and trust in Him. And He knows if that never took place in your life. He knows. He sees. As clearly as He saw Peter that day. As clearly as He saw him. He sees you. And He sees me. Do you believe that? Do we live as if we believe that? There he was. What grief in Peter's heart. And then to watch someone that you have loved, to watch someone that you have committed your ways to watch someone whom you have believed and placed your faith in and believed that he is the Messiah, believed that he is the Son of God. As Peter confessed, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And to see the one that you have believed in, the one that you have placed your faith in, taken by wicked hands and nailed to a cross. To see him. Taken, nailed to a cross, having been whipped, scourged, and as the prophet says, his back was like a plowed field. So deep were the wounds that he bore from the whipping and the scourging. A crown of thorns shoved down on his head. To be watching as the one that you love, the one we claim even today to love, to be spit upon, to be punched in the face, to be brutally handled and brutally beaten, and then nailed to the cross. The Lamb of God, nailed to the cross. Nails driven through his hands and through his feet. To see the one you love experiencing a horrific death in humiliation and degradation, being lifted up. And even before, looking at the ones who were nailing him there and the crowd that was around and looking over them and saying, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. If they knew my power and my majesty and that I am indeed the Son of God, very God in the flesh, come among them, they could not drive nails into my hands. They could not bind me. They could not do what they're doing. They're doing it out of ignorance and unbelief. Forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. And he's lifted up to die, to be experiencing such grief and emptiness. Just wondering now, what are we going to do? The one that we've followed for these 3 years. This one that we've committed our life to. The one that we believed was going to redeem Israel. Isn't that not what those traveling on the road to Emmaus said in their grief and in their pain of suffering? And they looked and they thought, he's gone now. He was the one we thought was going to redeem Israel. But now he's gone. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? And as the thunder rocked and the earthquake began, we can hear a triumphant sound coming from that center cross. He said other things, of course, but that final cry, it is finished. It's done. And he yielded up his spirit. And he died. And all around saw him. All around watched him die on that cross. Joseph of Arimathea came. You remember that they thought the high priests were concerned for the day of preparation, so they sent the soldiers around to break the legs of the men that were on the crosses so they could no longer push themselves up to gain their breath, and so they would die quicker. And they broke the legs of both of the men on both sides. And they came to Jesus and they found that he was already dead. And they took a spear and thrust it into his side. One of those men on the cross beside him had already entered in to paradise. For he had recognized Christ on the cross. Recognized him as an innocent man. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. This day I shall be with you. You shall be with me in paradise. One of them went to a lost eternity. One of them went to Hades to wait for the time of judgment that was to come. But Joseph of Arimathea came with Nicodemus, and they asked for the body of Christ. And when they saw that he was dead, they gave him the body, and they took the body, hastily took the body, wrapped it in cloth, wrapped it in linen strips, and laid it in Joseph's new tomb. And they sealed the tomb with that great stone and went away. Celebrated their weekend and Sabbath. No one really expecting what would happen on that Sunday morning. We read the account as the women went down. They saw the stone rolled away. Their hearts began to race, not in anticipation of seeing the living Christ, but anticipation of the body being gone. Someone has gotten into the grave. Someone has desecrated the body. Someone has taken him away. We don't know where they've laid him. We don't know where he is. He's our Savior. He's the one that we've loved. He's the one that we've followed. We saw him die. We've come with these spices to anoint his body. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Nice story. And some did not believe, did they? They did not believe. Mary Magdalene. And you have to fill in all the pieces I'm leaving out. There's simply not enough time to fill in all the pieces. But there's Mary Magdalene outside the tomb. She's looking in. She sees them sitting there, proclaiming that he is risen. But her heart could not accept it. Her heart could not believe it. And she's outside weeping. And she feels a presence behind her, and she turns around. And she sees a man standing there, and she does not recognize him. Perhaps she wasn't looking directly at him. I don't know. But she supposed he was the gardener. Just tell me where you have moved him. And we'll take him away. We'll go get his corpse. And we'll take the corpse away. And then he called her by name. Mary. And when she heard him call her, she knew that voice. My sheep hear my voice and they know me. And she turned, Rabboni, my master. And she clung to him. And faith gave way to sight. And she saw the living Christ. Oh, Mary, you don't have to cling to me. I've not yet ascended. I've not yet gone. Go tell the disciples. Go tell my brethren what you have seen. And we know that she ran and she told them. He is risen. He is alive. Come see. Come see. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, you who are in this room this morning, you have a living hope because he lives. He lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. He lives. And because he lives, we too, who have placed our faith and trust in him, we too shall live. You know, the resurrection is all about the body, isn't it? It's not so much about the soul and the spirit. The soul and the spirit will live on. Even those who die without Christ, their souls and spirits live on. They live in a place called Hades, waiting for the time of final judgment. Those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, when they die, their soul and spirit will go into the presence of the Lord to wait a day. to wait a day, because the redemption that Christ has given to us, the redemption that he has provided for us, is not partial. It deals with the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. Even Isaiah 53 speaks of it. Right now we are groaning. We are moaning. The earth groans, waiting for the day of redemption. There are those who have gone into the graves before us. Some of them were believers. Some of them were not believers. They have gone into the graves before us. And Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the corruption must put on incorruption. The mortal must put on immortality. Then will be brought to pass the saying that death is swallowed up in victory. Swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting now? O grave, where is your victory now? For us who believe, one day, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord will come. Those who are believers and lying in the graves, their bodies corroding and corrupting away, the Lord will shout, and those bodies that have seen corruption will rise up incorruptible. And we, if we are alive and remain, our mortal life will be changed in a moment, and our bodies will become immortal. And this mortal will put on immortality. And I will live forever with my Savior and my Lord, because he lives. Because he died for my sin. He paid the price for my sin. And when I placed my faith and trust in him, he forgave me of my sin. When I placed my faith and trust in him, he gave to me eternal life with him forever. And it will be all of me, not just my soul and my spirit. It will be all of me. He will change this body that it may be like unto his glorious body. And forever and ever, I will live in a new body that he has provided for me. No more sickness, no more death, no more pain, no more suffering. Won't that be nice? Forever and ever with my Lord. Never able to sin again. Praise God for his unspeakable gift to you and I. The gift of his precious and only begotten Son. Celebrate Easter. Celebrate the resurrection. Celebrate what we know to be true. Celebrate all year long that he lives. He is risen. One more time. He is risen. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for our Lord Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for such love that he had, that he would come into this world to express your love to us, and that he would lay down his life as the Lamb of God, the spotless, holy Lamb of God. And he would take my place. He would shed his blood. He would take my death so that I do not have to die because of my sin. No, this body one day may die. This body may one day go into the grave. But glorious hope, it won't stay there. I will be with thee in your presence until that day when you send your Son back. And he will redeem my soul. He will redeem my body and make me a whole man before you at last. Oh, glorious hope. Thank you, Father, for all you've done through your Son. Thank you that he lives, that he is seated at your right hand, and one day you will send him. We look forward to seeing you. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.